For those of you who are with us for the first time, let me just introduce myself. My name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace, and I am kind of a little bit amped this morning because I haven't spoke for a very long time. And so I told the morning service, I'll tell you as well, it could be a very long service. It's just been a while, and I'm just excited to be back. I was able to spend some time with my family and get some rest, and we're just excited to be back and heading into the fall. And this morning, as we come together, on kind of an interesting week because we're in between series. And as I said last week, we're taking this time to kind of look to the future. And last week, Paul did an awesome job of just kind of talking to us about what was happening in Jersey City and how we're going to be able to impact the lives there. And what I want to do this morning is just kind of come back home and talk about, all right, what's happening here and spend a little bit of time celebrating what God's been doing, but then also spend some time looking forward to what's ahead for us as we move into this next year. And as we come together at this point in the year, we've got so much to celebrate. There's so many different things that we've been seeing happen inside of our family. Even this past week was amazing. For those of you who are here, maybe you noticed it was pretty packed last week. We had 647 people who were worshiping with us last week, which is awesome. I guess the word got out that I wasn't speaking, and so it just packed this place. But it's amazing. And just a couple of other things that we're celebrating. August has actually been our highest average attendance for the year. It actually might be the highest average attendance we've ever had, including when we used to have Downtown Community Church be a part of our church, which is amazing. That doesn't happen. I don't know if you guys know that or not. August usually isn't like an up time. It's usually a down time, but we're just seeing this phenomenal thing happen in our family where more and more people are being connected to this mission of helping people find their way back to God. And just to see how people are getting connected and how the family is growing is just amazing. We've had 421 people attend for the first time over the course of this year. That's 421 people that we've been able to introduce to this idea. To this idea that Jesus Christ is pursuing them and that he's passionate about them and the love that God has for them, which is just an awesome opportunity. We have 309 people who are currently active in our dinner groups and in community. We had our largest Easter egg hunt and one day events in our history this past year, and both of those just continue to grow. For some of you, if you're a member, you received an email this past week talking about this. We launched our Sunday studies. As a matter of fact, we have our second semester coming up in just a couple weeks. And these are Sunday Bible studies. We're continuing to teach and build into people as far as how to be able to study through God's Word. We had our largest Amplify event ever this past year, and we were able to start working with other churches in that, being able to serve and love other churches through that. Justin was talking about the teams and the people who are coming and going. We've actually had people in 9 different countries, not counting our country, this year. Isn't that amazing that we've been able to serve and love people in 9 different countries? It's just awesome as we come to this point in the year to be able to see what God's doing and how God's working in our family and the doors that have opened. And this morning, what I want to do is just take a little bit of time to kind of celebrate that and look back on that. But then I also want to look forward, because as we move into this fall, there's so many exciting things that are happening. And for many of you, if you go back a couple of months ago, we talked about this growth path. You're beginning to see some of those things that we talked about back then become a reality inside of our church family. And as we move into the fall, that's going to be even more so our reality. So we've got a couple of things to look forward to, just a couple of them to mention here. As we move into the fall, we've got 8 new dinner groups that are going to be launching, which is awesome. For some of you, you've been looking for dinner group and they're full and you're like, wait, there's 28 people in your dinner group. And so we got 8 new dinner groups that are going to be launching. And as I said, in just a couple of weeks, we have our second semester of Sunday Bible studies that are going to be starting. And some of you are like, wait a second, why didn't I get to be? You actually need to be a member in order to be able to walk through our Sunday Bible studies that we've launched. And as we walk through today's service, I'm actually going to talk to you about how you can become a member here at Hoboken Grace and be a part of that. Our Amplify studies are being refocused. This is something that we're really excited about because as we move into this next year, we're becoming more and more intentional about how we teach people how to be able to read through God's word. And a part of that is that as you look at the book studies that are part of Amplify, we're kind of refocusing them so that you're going to be able to be introduced to every different kind of literature throughout God's word and be able to learn, okay, how do I interact with wisdom literature? How do I interact with the epistles that are being written from Paul to the churches or these different apostles to the churches and walking through all those different literature types so that you're going to be able to be equipped to really interact with all of God's word. It's amazing. And we can't wait for this. It's actually, you're going to begin seeing that in October when we have our next Amplify. Another thing that's happening, and I know that for those of you who are parents, you're going to be really excited about this. We're actually adding childcare to Amplify. And so for those of you who are parents who've been waiting for that and wondering when am I finally going to be able to attend Amplify, that's going to be a reality this fall. Another thing that we're doing is we're adding several other breakouts to Amplify. So we're adding breakouts on marriage, on dating, on parenting, on work-life balance. As we move into this next year, we're adding those to Amplify, which I think is going to be really, really powerful and really exciting. Another thing that we're excited about is that Next and Core are running really, really well. And I want to take a second to talk about this because we released Next and Core and didn't explain it to you at all. Which left a lot of you very confused because you're like, what's this Next and Core? And there used to be this thing called Backstage Pass. And I went to Backstage Pass, but I don't know, do I need to go? And basically what happened is this. We had what was called Backstage Pass, which was an introduction to Hoboken Grace and how you could become a member here at Hoboken Grace. But it was about 4 hours long. And if I was doing it, it could reach 4.5 hours long. And so several people came to me and said, Chris, while we love spending 4 hours with you in a room, we don't like spending 4 hours with you in a room. And so if it's possible, if we could break this thing up, it would be a lot better. And so that's what we've done. We've basically taken Backstage Pass and broken it into two different classes. So the first is Next, and we took all the stuff out of Backstage Pass that was really necessary as you're beginning the journey here at Hoboken Grace, just kind of an explanation of who we are and, okay, how do I journey with Hoboken Grace and how does this work here? And we put that into Next so that as you step into Hoboken Grace, your very first step is that you attend this class. You're going to be introduced to our growth path and everything that we're trying to do and the opportunities that are available for you. And then we took all of the membership side of Backstage Pass and we put that into Core. As a matter of fact, Core is taking place this afternoon at 2:00. It's not 4 hours long anymore. It's much, much shorter, just under 2 hours long. And we'll be able to walk through what it means to be a member and our statement of faith and what we believe and why we believe those things and the commitments that we make to one another in membership as we're in this covenant family together. And so that's become Core. And that has not only taken off, but it's running really, really well. And we're seeing a lot of really great things coming out of it as people are stepping into membership. And then also people are being able to be exposed to, okay, how do I journey with Hoboken Grace very early on as they step into our family? So we've just got a lot of different things that are happening and that we have to look forward to. This fall, we're releasing our final two tools that go along with our experience plan. Many of you have been walking through that experience plan and experiencing the result of that in your life. And we're releasing our final two tools this fall. The first one's going to be our relationship plan. It has to do with the circles conversation that we're having. Another thing that we're doing as we move into this next year that you can look forward to is that we're looking to take one day to a whole new level. We're really excited that we had over 200 people who are a part of it. But as we move into this next year, our goal is to have over 1,000 people who are a part of one day, which means we're having to rethink our projects. And we're starting to partner with some national organizations as far as really big things that we can do inside of our city, and we can't wait to get that going. We have a phenomenal Christmas project that we're about to roll out, which basically happened this way. For some of you, you were part of this last week. Kara Cohen, inside of our church here, just decided that she was going to change the world one day, and so she put together this Christmas project, and it was amazing. I mean, it was amazing. And so basically, what we did is a couple months ago, we came alongside and said, "Listen, can we just kind of join you and tag along?" And just amp this thing up because we love what you're doing and we want to just take this to a whole different level. So that we're super excited to be able to do that as we move into the Christmas season. It's going to be an opportunity again for us to be able to love and impact more people. And I think just across the board, when you see what's going on over the course of this next year, you're going to see that our impact in the community, we're just looking to take it to whole new levels and loving more people, impacting more people, finding more powerful ways to be able to do that. And so as we come together today, we have some amazing things to look back on, and we have some amazing things to look forward to. And you guys, if you're part of Hoboken Grace for very long, you'll see that I like to do this from time to time for us to be able to take this time to reflect, because one of the things that I want to make sure never happens is that we don't take for granted what God's doing inside of our family. And it can become really, really easy for us to begin to take for granted what's happening. And just think that, oh, you know what? This is just happening everywhere. That's not true. And what we're seeing and what we're experiencing is an amazing demonstration of God's grace and God's power. And I think for all of us, we should constantly just be unbelievably grateful. Grateful for what God's doing, and that we get to be a part of that. And how God's impacting people's lives, and that we get to be a part of that. It's an amazing opportunity for us to be used of God in any way, shape, or form, an opportunity that none of us deserve. And so as we come to this point, we look back and we look forward, I just want to make sure that we never take that for granted and that we just are constantly living in gratitude that God would use us in any way, shape, or form on this journey. It's amazing. And then also as we come together this morning, I want to just talk to you about mindset for a little bit. Because as we walk into this fall, the truth is there are a lot of opportunities. And I think one of the reasons I'm most excited about this next year, and I'm probably more excited about this next year than any year previously, is that it doesn't really matter where you are on the journey. It doesn't matter whether you walked into Hoboken Grace for the first time, even if you're just a part of our city and have never walked into Hoboken Grace, or whether you've been on this journey for years and years and years, we're getting better at helping each other no matter where we are in the journey. We're getting better at loving each other no matter where we are in the journey. And so if you've been on the journey for years and years and years, we're developing things that are really going to help you continue developing your relationship with God. And helping you to be able to build into the people around you. If you're just starting this journey, or even when you look at the city, we're getting better and better at loving our city and communicating the love of Christ to the people around us. It doesn't matter where you are on the journey. And so for me, I think this is the most exciting year that we've ever looked forward to. But as we walk into it, one of my fears is that we'll think because the opportunities are there, that it's just naturally going to happen. Or because the pieces are in place, that this is just naturally going to happen. And that's not true. The truth is, as we look forward to this next year, there's phenomenal opportunity for us collectively and individually to continue growing in our relationship with God, to continue impacting the world around us. But it doesn't just happen because the opportunity is there. There has to be a mindset as we walk into this fall and as we walk into this next year. And so what I want to do today is I want to take you to one of my favorite passages in all of the scriptures. And it's a passage that I come back to over and over and over again myself, that I challenge myself with over and over again, because I want to make sure that I do not lose this mindset. The passage is found in Matthew chapter 14. And in Matthew chapter 14, Jesus is kind of in an interesting situation, because he's in kind of his own in the meantime circumstance, like we were talking about a couple weeks ago. John the Baptist has just died. He's been put to death. And as you walk into the beginning of chapter 14, you see Jesus is kind of trying to find some alone time. But people keep coming to him because he's getting more and more popular, and people want to hear from him, and people want him to do these amazing things. And so he's trying to get alone with his dad, but he can't find time to get alone with his dad, and these people keep coming. And so finally he gets to this point where he's like, all right, all of you just come around, all of you, literally thousands of people. He's like, all right, let's just spend some time together. And then he does this amazing miracle where he feeds 5,000 people with just a couple of fish and a couple of pieces of bread. And really, it's this amazing miracle, but it's also this point in Jesus' life where he's like, if I feed you, will you leave? Please, I just need some alone time, so I'll just feed you and you guys can go and I'll do my thing. And he's kind of looking for some alone time. And in the midst of this, you find a passage that is unbelievably unbelievably powerful when it comes to mindset. We're going to pick up in Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 22. It says this. It says, immediately after this, and it's talking about after he had fed the 5,000. It says, Jesus insisted that his disciples get into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. And so he gets done feeding them. He's like, all right, guys, listen, get in the boat, go to the other side of the lake. And I'm sure that they're thinking, like, well, if we, how are you going to get over? But I guess by this point, they just gotten to the point where they're just like, I'm not even going to ask. Whatever. You do what you do. You just do whatever you want to do. So you do it. And we'll get in the boat. We'll go to the other side of the lake. And so he says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back in the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. So he finally gets that chance to just got to get alone with my dad. Just talk about what's happening. He finally gets that chance. And then it starts to get crazy. It says, meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. Now, a couple of months ago, we talked about, okay, you need to put yourself into the story, all right? And you need to do that here, because I know when we start to read this, we think, okay, waves, and we're picturing like this, right? Because that's what would freak us out if we were in a boat in a lake, right? The waves get this big and we're, okay, we're in trouble. That's not what we're talking about here. You have to remember what these guys did for a living. These individuals, they were fishermen. They grew up on a lake, okay? That these guys, in order for them to be afraid, you're not talking about little waves. You're talking about huge waves. How many of you guys watch those Alaskan fishermen shows? Right? Oh, like four of you. No, more of you have seen the shows. Come on. But it's amazing. These fishermen, like, they're out there and these giant waves are crashing over this boat and they're just sitting there with their rain slicker on like, yeah, just another day, just another day. I would be curled up under that boat just vomiting profusely in some corner. But they're fishermen, so they're used to it. And so you see these guys, they're out in this lake, and this storm comes up. And it's not a little storm. It's a storm that's big enough to be able to terrify fishermen. It's not just that they're scared. It says that they're actually struggling. And so there's a real possibility here that they're not going to make it. It says that they're in trouble. And so Jesus is up praying. They're out in the middle of this lake. All of a sudden, the storm comes up. And then listen what happens. It says, about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them walking on the water. And sometimes I wonder about the writers, like Matthew. Like, I feel like you could use a couple more sentences to describe that. Like, you're just going to, just one line? Oh, then he's walking on water. But he's just one line. And sometimes, I guess maybe if you're around Jesus long enough, you just get to the point where it's just like, I don't know what to say. He just was walking on water. That's it. Like, I don't know how to describe it to you. I don't know how to explain it to you. It's just, he was walking on water. But, I talked about this a couple months ago. So we were talking about how crazy Jesus is and how we get this idea that Jesus is boring. But if you actually read the stories, you realize it's not at all. And I've always wondered, I mean, you're talking about huge waves. So I've always wondered, is he just like jumping from wave to wave, or is he walking up and down, up and down? I don't know how this was working, but somehow he comes towards them and he's walking on water. This is when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." And again, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Sometimes we think the disciples, they just, miracles were just normal for them. It wasn't. When they saw it, they didn't think, it must be Jesus walking on water. No, they're like, this must be a ghost. What's happening here? And they're freaking out. They're losing their mind. Not only are we in the middle of this huge storm and we can't get out of it. It's 3 o'clock in the morning now. We've been fighting this thing for hours. We can't get out of the storm. But now in the midst of all of that, there's something walking on the water. And so they're freaking out. It says, but Jesus spoke to them at once. Now, Matthew says Jesus spoke to them at once. When you go to Mark had a little bit of a different opinion of what happened, because Mark says that Jesus actually intended to walk past them. Right? Like he wasn't even going to stop. He's just like, hey guys, how you doing? All right, just moving on. But Matthew said, but then they call out to Jesus. So Jesus, he's like, well, I guess if you need me, I'll stop. And so he turns And he's like, listen, guys, don't freak out. It's okay. I'm here. Take courage. I'm here. And this is where the story for me gets really interesting, because as you look at this story, there's two experiences of Jesus. There's two experiences of Jesus. The first experience is an experience that many of us have had. An experience that some of you are very close to. An experience that all of us need. The first experience is the experience that most of those in the boat experience. So they're freaking out. They're in the midst of this huge storm, and everything's going crazy. Now something's walking on the water towards them, and they call out, and finally Jesus says to them, listen, it's okay. Take courage, I'm here. And the first experience that you see of Jesus is experienced by most of the individuals in the boat. It's, okay, it's okay. Jesus is here. It's an experience of peace. We're okay. It's okay. Jesus is here. And the amazing thing about Jesus is that Jesus wants to do this for all of us. To be able to step into the storms of our lives and just say, hey, listen. I know you're terrified. I know all this stuff's happening. But here's what I want you to know. I'm here. It's okay. It's okay. And the first experience that you see of Jesus in the story is a group of guys who are freaking out, and then all of a sudden they're like, it's all right. Mark, it's okay. It's Jesus. Jesus is here. We talked about this in the Meantime series, where for so many of us, in the midst of the wrestling, the first step towards hope is when we realize that God hasn't abandoned us, that he's here. And you experience the peace. You're like, it's okay. For most of us, we've experienced this. For many of you, you're right on the brink of it. And Jesus has been pursuing you. That's why you're here this morning. And he's been showing you how he loves you, but you haven't yet trusted him with your life. And you're still in the midst of the storm and trying to figure out how you're going to make it yourself. And Jesus is like, listen, if you just trust me, listen, I'm here. And all of us need to experience this in Jesus. But in the story, there's two experiences of Jesus. The first has to do with preservation, that we're okay. We're okay. It's going to be okay. But then there's a second experience of Jesus. Because as they're in the boat, for 11 of them, they just sit back, okay, it's going to be all right. But then there's one individual who experiences Jesus in a whole different way. Because while the 11 sit back, all of a sudden, there's Peter. And Peter, right? They're all freaking out. What's going to happen? But all of a sudden, and Jesus is like, listen, it's okay. It's me. And Peter's like, oh, but wait. Wait. Listen to what it says. It says, when the disciples saw him walking on water, they were terrified, and they feared. They cried out, it's a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage. I'm here. It says, then Peter. I love Peter. Then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. For 11 of them, and in the moment, Jesus is like, it's me. It's take courage. It's okay. And for 11 of them, it was, oh. But for Peter, it was, whoa. Wait. Me too. If you're walking on water, can I walk on water? Wait. Me. And it's so funny because as I was preparing for this and getting ready for this morning, I was just thinking back, and my family and I, like I said, we had some time to be on vacation, and so we were at the pool one day, and my 6-year-old just loves jumping into the pool, right? It's like the greatest thing ever. I enjoy it too, still. But he's jumping into the pool, and then I've got a 4-year-old, and my 4-year-old just started to get strong enough where he could be in a puddle jumper and like hold himself up above the water. But he watched his brother jump in. So he's like, all right, I want to try it too. Me, you know, and so he, and then I thought, well, he's 4 years old. He should be able to do this by now. So we'll see if he can do it. So I put him up there and had him jump in, and he was doing great. But then as my 6-year-old and 4-year-old's jumping in, all of a sudden, I've got a 1-year-old too. All of a sudden, as they're jumping in, he watches his 4-year-old brother jump in. I just hear this little voice beside me. Me too, me too, me too, me too. He's got this ridiculously high voice. I'm trying to, I don't know what to do about it, but it's just like, me too, me too. I'm like, you're 1 year old, you know, and he can stay above water, this puddle jumper, but he just started really being in the pool like 6 months ago. So I'm like, well, let's see. So we put him up there, and I'm like, well, I should probably catch him, but what if I don't? Like, do you think he'd make it? You know, and this is why my wife doesn't go to the pool with me and the kids. And so I was like, all right, well, let's try it. So I, you know, he's so excited and he's a little bit nervous. He's right on the edge. And I'm like, all right, dude, jump. And I'm like, I'll catch you. And I'm like, I'm not going to catch him. So he jumps in and under the water he goes. He pops back up, biggest smile on his face. He's like, more, 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 more. And the greatest, like the best thing about it is that there was another dad next to us with a 4-year-old, and like every time he's like, I'll catch you, I'll catch you. And then he watched my 1-year-old jump in, and he's like, dude, you should be jumping in yourself. But it's that spirit, and you see it in Peter, where all of a sudden he sees it, and for 11 of them, when they saw Jesus, it was all preservation and peace, and it was like, oh, it's okay. But then for one of them, there was a different experience, because for one of them, he didn't just see Jesus as, okay, preservation and peace. It was possibility and potential, and he sees Jesus out there. He's like, man, listen, if you can do it, then can I do it too? It says, then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. And I have to imagine that Jesus was just excited, just ecstatic in the situation. I just think of myself there with my 1-year-old up there, and I'm so excited for him. I'm like, dude, this is going to scare the crap out of you, but you are going to love this. Right? And you're just so excited for that spirit. And I have to imagine Jesus was exactly the same way. He's like, all right, Peter, yeah, let's go. Get out of the boat. So Peter went over the side of the boat. And again, try to change the picture in your head. I don't know what picture you have in your head, but for some reason, I always have this picture of this little rowboat in the middle of a big, there's 12 people in this boat for one thing. So it's a big boat. Okay? And these are fishing boats that these guys are on. So he's not just like, I'm going to step out over the edge, like a little 2-foot ledge. Like, this is a boat. He's going to have to climb down over the edge. I don't know if he jumped out and like just hit and wow, I stuck or what, but I don't know how it happened, but he climbs down and steps out and it's amazing. It says, so Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. And as you look at the story, you see two different experiences of Jesus. And the first experience is an experience that all of us need to have, and God wants for all of us, where it's like, okay, I'm all right. It's going to be okay. But God does not want you to stay there. He's not wanting you to stay there. He has got an adventure in store for you. An adventure in store for you. And I think this passage, it calls to all of us. It calls to all of us. Okay, yeah, you've experienced this peace. You've experienced, but now it's time. Now it's time to get out of the boat. Come on. Come on. Get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. Wait till you see what can happen when you get out of the boat. And Peter climbs down over the edge. And he does something that no other human being has ever done. besides Jesus, but Jesus is Jesus, right? So, but he walks on water. And you know the 11, when Peter's like, hey, listen, I can do it. You know the other 11 are like, oh, you're stupid. What's wrong with him? Peter, Peter. And then Jesus is like, yes, come. And they're all like, wait, what? Huh? What? Huh? And then they see him walking on water, and they're like, whoa. And it's interesting. As the story continues, it's interesting what happens. It says that he goes over the edge. He starts to walk on water. He says, but when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. And the story continues, and the truth is that Peter gets out there, and it seems like he's walking on water, but then he realizes, I can't reach back and get to the boat anymore, and all of a sudden he's like, wait a second, maybe I was stupid, and this wave's bigger than that wave, and I don't know what's happening here. And he gets out there, and he's out in the middle, and he realizes, I got no way out of this, and in the midst of all of that, in some way, shape, or form, he begins to take his eyes off of Jesus, and as he does, he begins to sink. And to be honest with you guys, listen. This is the best part of the passage. This is the best part of the passage. Because for a lot of us, we think, well, I don't think I can make it all the way, so I'm not going to get out of the boat. You know what the Bible doesn't have stories of? The Bible doesn't have stories of people who made it all the way. They always sink somewhere along the way. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't get out of the boat. And sometimes I'll hear people talking about this passage. And they'll talk about the weakness of Peter's faith. Because Jesus does, right? He says, well, why didn't you trust me, Peter? But if this passage is a statement of Peter's faith, it's a huge indictment on the faith of the 11 who never got out of the boat. And the truth is that Jesus does challenge Peter's faith. Now listen, you know what, Peter? You could trust me. You could trust me to make it all the way. He challenges Peter's faith, but he's not. This isn't about the weakness of Peter's faith. This is about the strength of Peter's faith. He's the only one who actually trusted Jesus enough to get out of the boat. And sometimes the people who don't get out of the boat love to criticize the ones who do but don't make it. But this isn't a story about the weakness of Peter's faith. This is a story about the beginning of someone whose faith would change the world. And there's so much in this passage because there's huge question. There's a huge question in there about, okay, who do you reach out to when you start to sink? Because if you're going to step out of the boat, guess what? At some point, you're going to start to sink. Who do you reach out to? Do you just start trying to swim harder yourself? Do you just try to start keep making it yourself? Or do you reach out to Jesus? Do you understand in those moments that he's not going to leave you, but he's going to save you? But then there's also this beautiful picture of the beginning of Peter's faith. And as you look at Peter's faith, you'll see that throughout his life, so many times he sinks. So many times he doesn't make it. So many times he fails. Even when it looks like it's the most important moment, when Jesus is going to the cross, he fails. And you see him sink time after time after time. And you think to yourself, and for those who love to criticize the ones who get out of the boat, they say, oh, look at Peter, he didn't make it. Oh, look at Peter, he didn't make it to Jesus. But here's the thing. By the end of it, Peter's faith changes the world. Not because he never sunk, but because he never stopped getting out of the boat. He never stopped getting out of the boat. And no matter how many times he sunk, No matter how many times he didn't quite make it, no matter how many times he got distracted by other things, no matter how many failures he had, he just kept getting out of the boat. He kept asking, okay, God, what else can I do? Where else can I go? How else can, and he just keeps believing God. And sometimes the hardest thing to believe about God is that even though you sank, He still wants to use you in the future. For some of you, you've got out of the boat in the past. You said, you know what, I'm gonna take this step that God's called me into, and I'm gonna take this risk, I'm gonna take this chance. And you got out of the boat, but you, as you're on that journey, maybe you were a dinner group leader. You're like, you know, I'm going to do this. And I don't know if I can do it, but I'm going to do it. And you started down that path. But all of a sudden, the difficulty of life and the difficulty of leading people and interacting with people who are just crazy sometimes. And all of that, it just started to wear on you, and it started to beat you up. And all of a sudden, you started to sink. Maybe even took some criticism, some shots along the way. And so you've just decided, I'm just going to stay in the boat. Maybe you've even begun to believe that God just wants you to stay in the boat. I think Peter, in this story, and in so many of the stories that follow it, it calls to us and says, listen, you're going to sink sometimes. But don't stop getting out of the boat. Just don't stop getting out of the boat. And for some of you, you're experiencing the peace, but God's stepping into your life and he's beginning to push you. For some of you, it's just trusting him for the very first time. He's beginning to push you. Listen, you need to trust me. All right, today's the day. You need to place your faith in me and stop trusting yourself. He's beginning to push you a little bit. Listen, get out of the boat. I don't know what the step is for you. Maybe it's membership. We talk about cores going on this afternoon for you to be able to actually, you know what, commit to a group of people to be on this mission together. You need to take that step. For some of you, you're here today, you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, but you haven't taken the step of baptism. We had a baptism this morning. It was awesome. And for you, your step of getting out of the boat, it literally involves water. You've placed your faith in Christ, but it's just like, it's just a personal thing. I'm going to share it with people. You need to share it. Get out of the boat. For some of us, it's just sharing our faith. And we've been talking about inviting people to be a part of this series with us this fall and bringing someone with you. And you're like, I'm terrified of that. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can talk about that. And sometimes I think about what that conversation will be like, because I experience the same thing, right? I'm like, I'm nervous about this with my neighbor. And sometimes I think about that conversation with myself and Peter in the future. Like, you get to heaven, you're having that conversation with Peter. Like, you know, it's just really difficult to share my faith and talk to my neighbors about Christ. He's like, yeah, I know, man. I know. I was beaten for it. I was thrown in prison for it. I watched like several of my friends die because of it. I ended up being crucified upside down because of it. It's like that for you. And I'm in heaven, so I can't lie. I'm just screwed. Like, no, it's a little, you know, embarrassing. Peter, punch me in the face. It'd be the right thing to do. I don't know what the step is. Maybe for you, it's being the dad that God called you to be. Loving your wife the way God called you to love her. And you stepped out of the boat in the past and you tried, but you sunk. And so you're like, you know what? I'm just going to sit back. Don't stop getting out of the boat. In the story, there are two experiences of Jesus. Don't be the one who just sits back. I think in every one of our lives, Jesus has us up on that ledge of the pool. And he's like, come on, just jump. I know you're terrified. I know it. Just jump. Come on. It's going to be better than you could possibly imagine. I want to challenge you in a couple of different ways, very specifically today. For some of you, again, maybe some of you have been a dinner group leader in the past, and because you sank, you're just like, oh, I'm just going to stay back. I want to challenge you. Nick's in the back, and actually for everything, you're going to be able to go see Nick. He's sitting right back there, all right? But if you're here today, we have these groups that are kicking off in just a couple of weeks. I said we got 8 already, but if you're here today and you've been thinking about dinner group leadership, but you just haven't, listen, get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. Just see. You're like, I don't know if I can make it. It doesn't matter if you don't know if you can make it. Just get out of the boat. For others of you, we talked about the step of baptism. You need to get baptized today. You need to just get out of the boat. You know you need to get baptized today. Get out of the boat. Next to me in the back, you should just get up. You know, you're like, I don't want to get up right now. In just a few minutes when the band comes up, get up, go back, see Nick. Get out of the boat. May we be a group of people. Well, we're never going to be a group of people who don't sink. But may we be a group of people who never stop getting out of the boat. And because of it, may our city know the beauty of the one who gave his life for us. Get out of the boat. Father, as we walk into this morning, I just pray that we would be able to see the beauty of what it's like to live on an adventure with you, as opposed to just preservation, to be able to see possibility and potential. And Father, I just pray this morning for every one of us that we would, whatever it is that you're calling us into, whatever it is that you're going to challenge us with this fall, I just pray that we would have this mentality moving forward. Not the mentality of, okay, we're safe, but that mentality of okay, what's possible? Like, what can we do with you? And where are you calling us? How great could this be? And really trusting you that you didn't just come that we could have eternal life, but that you came so that we could have life to the fullest here and now. Father, I just pray that you would continue to challenge us with this passage. To be people who get out of the boat. In Jesus' name, amen.